How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. Just got out of the gym, so it's a good thing. But yeah, it's just, it doesn't even seem real, to be honest with you. It's just like, okay, they came out with the date that they were going to push it back from the 10th through the 25th of November, the start date. And then we're a month away. And then we're in the first game month. And then now we're a week away. It just still doesn't seem real. But, yeah, we're a week away from playing a real live basketball game in theory.
And how much is the head on the swivel given news about Katie's team, you know, having to – you know, cancel those first two? I mean, you're reading about it all across the country, and it's happening in football. I mean, it's kind of a scary, scary thing that you just kind of – I feel like everybody's tiptoeing into this basketball season.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going into it with a tremendous amount of confidence as it pertains to COVID-related issues. You know, and just the ability to get games played. But, you know, our philosophy from day one has been we'll do it as long as they let us. If it's a couple days worth of summer workouts, then so be it. If it's, you know, all the way through the season, then we'll take that too. But we have gone above and beyond in trying to control the things that we can in an attempt to mitigate and try to have as safe as an environment at practice as we can. If you see some of the things that we're doing at practice, you might not recognize it as a normal basketball practice, but if that allows us to mitigate transmission of this virus more effectively, then we'll gladly be more uncomfortable at practice in order to do that.
Coach, do y'all practice in masks?
We players don't. The players do not practice in masks. The coaches do practice in masks, but. We do a lot of things. We have a lot of things that we've made changes to typical practices formats that allow us to do. Like our video watching is completely different. Our meetings and huddles are eliminated or minimized or timed. Our training room practices are completely different than what they've been before. Our strength and conditioning stuff is completely different than what it's ever been. The number of things that we're doing to try to mitigate the transmission is, you know, it's not easy and it takes a lot of time and effort, but we've been committed to it to try to show that we're taking every precaution that we possibly can.
And you're wearing a red mask, Morgan Freeman's character from Shawshank, right, on the court?
It is. Now, my skin tone is slightly different than his, but I actually went to the extent to make a Morgan Freeman mask face on my mask.
How much are y'all testing right now, and how does that compare to this summer? I mean, now that we're on the doorstep of the season, how strict has that become, and what kind of guidelines do the players have when they're not in class and they're not with you?
Yeah, it's gotten progressively more and more aggressive in terms of our testing. At the current stage, we're testing three times a week. We'll test tomorrow morning. Right now, we're doing Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Okay.
And we're able to get those results back same day. So that's nice. That's a blessing that we're able to do that. But, yeah, we're doing 3 days a week right now. That started this past Sunday. Up until then, it was once a week. For the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. And then before that, it was a little less sporadic. I've been doing it on my own just to keep tabs on it. You know, you can do it in the city here for free. But, as we get into the games, that's what we'll do three times a week. And then depending on what happens, if we have an episode or we discover a positive case, then we'll stop everything and immediately test again. Just to figure out where we are again with the transmission and then try to resume as normally as we can, as soon as we can.
And then as far as attendance, is McKenzie looking around capping things around 1,000? If so, I mean, I know you didn't build this arena, so I'm not making fun of you when I say this, but like 3,900 seats are the top row of the gold circle and down, and more than 7,000 are up in the upper deck, and nobody likes sitting up in the upper deck if they can avoid it. But I guess will that social distancing, will everybody try to remain in the lower level as good as possible?
We've got a plan that we've mapped out, and you know everything is subject to change at this stage in the game. I've talked about multiple times. We're on a maximum flexibility type of mindset we're all in right now, and you know things change as the virus changes, and if we have vaccines, that might change things. As we have more cases in our county or city or state, that changes. So everything's up for maximum, but we do have a plan that involves socially distancing while we're at the games, as far as our fans go. But again, everything's going to be subject to change based on where the virus is in our community.
You're listening to Lamont Paris, UTC basketball coach, here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
20 wins, so good to have you back. We always appreciate your time, your enthusiasm. Whenever you can make fun of me, Wells and David would greatly appreciate that too. I'm curious, though, we've all got our fingers crossed that we can get in as many games as possible. We've seen in the college football season that bye weeks have greatly increased teams getting outbreaks within their circles. What are you guys going to do for Thanksgiving, which seems to be a question that all of us are asking each other all across all walks of society?
Yeah. We're going to be here for Thanksgiving. We haven't decided exactly what that would look like, but you know, we're going to keep our bubble as tight as we possibly can, and that's throughout the whole season. And you know, it's a sacrifice that we have to make if we want to be able to participate.
Christmas too?
It's still undecided, but yes. I mean, yes. Here's the example I use to our guys. I say LeBron James plays on Christmas Day every year, right?
Right.
Because he's a big ticket item. And somehow I just don't feel like his kids and wife and family mind that much. They find a way. Christmas still works out okay. Christmas still works out okay for them, I feel. It may not be on Christmas Day, but it still works out. And so, you know, if we value basketball and playing basketball as much as we claim to, I think it's a small sacrifice to have to make, you know. I think that in general, and everyone's got their own opinion of things. I saw something real interesting the other day. It was a quote that I was reading, and it said, "Hey, I know sometimes the pandemic seems like it's really tough and hard." And it said, "You know, Anne Frank was in a 250 square foot space for 750 days and had to be as quiet as she humanly possibly can be." You know, it's not all as bad as what we might all, it's all perspective, right? Like we've got 300 or 3,000 square foot houses with internet and cable TV, and you can FaceTime your grandma, and you can order food to be delivered to your house, and you can, like, there's a lot that we can do. You know, if you're putting it in perspective, in the face of the worst pandemic that's happened in the last 100 years, I think a lot of times it boils down to your mindset, and it's not ideal. It's not, but we didn't ask for COVID to come here, but it just arrived, and we have to do what we need to do in order to get to do the things that we want to do and live the way that we want to. And if one of the sacrifices is, hey, for Thanksgiving, you don't have your normal Thanksgiving this year. I guess that's just kind of how it's going to be. And we've begun to wrap our minds around that and the sacrifices that we need to make in order to be able to play basketball in the safest environment that we can.
Okay. I've got, you know me, I'm going to go off the rails now because David will get us back on the rails because that's who I am.
Yeah. I don't mind it at all. Let's go.
All right. Who do you admire in the coaching realm? And I'm not talking about people you used to work for. Like, they had a conversation today on ESPN about how Mike Tomlin probably dresses down his kindergartner about how the standard is the standard. And by God, we're not going to have peanut butter and jelly today. We're having a meat sandwich so you can get your protein. Who do you admire in the coaching circle that you would look to or love to have a meal with?
I'll tell you a guy, and I don't know him personally at all, and I haven't spent a ton of time, but I have a good feel for what he's about, and for all kinds of reasons, Tony Dungy is a guy that would be high on my list to be around, and he's one that's here right now. If I had to go with one that's no longer with us, I'd say John Thompson.
Okay.
But just guys, if I look at Tony Dungy and what he's been able to do as far as a wins and loss standpoint, what he's about, this guy is a principled guy, never sacrificing that, and he's just a guy I'd love to spend some time with him and just to hear him talk about how he handled situations. And I know it's a different sport, but he's a guy that I've just always looked to in the coaching profession and coaching circles as to how he did things, how he handled his business, and how he didn't sacrifice his beliefs and principles and in the details of it, day-to-day details, the minutiae that he focused on in order to get to where he is.
You're listening to Lamont Paris, the UTC men's basketball coach, just a week away from the season opener against Bellarmine next Wednesday at McKenzie Arena. Coach, you were picked 7th in the preseason after a 20-win season. What's up with that?
Yeah, I know. We talked briefly about it with our team, and I told them the kind of person that I am, and I told them that I hope some of that rubs off on them. I've made my whole career in my life with someone never thinking that this was going to happen, really, or overachieving and respecting, but using doubt from someone else to motivate me and how I'm going to play and how I'm going to work and how I'm going to coach, and you can't get that job, and your team can't win this, and it's a million times. I told our team when I was at Wisconsin, they always picked us low, and then they scratched their head at the end of the season. That's just what happened every year, right? But a lot of that was mindset. A lot of that was how competitive. There's being good at basketball, and then there's being good at competing. And that's one thing that I've prided myself in my life. I've always been good at competing. Even if what I was good at physically or from a skill set wasn't necessarily as good as someone else, you just got to be good at competing sometimes. And I hope that that's the message that we get and that we compete. I think it's disrespectful, maybe we finish 10th. Maybe we finish first. Who knows? But I think it's guys have to take it as disrespect that after making some achievements and, I asked them this, not to get long-winded with it. I said, guys, why do teams pick teams to finish in a certain way? And I said, hey, sometimes it's because of the coach, right? But sometimes the first thing I think they look at, they say, all right, who do they have on their team as players? All right? Like if I had LeBron James here, I don't think they'd pick a 7th, right? I think it comes down to that. And so I use that as hopefully that's fuel for these guys to compete at a level that they've never played at from just competing. Forget basketball. This is about competing.
All right, Lamont, you ready for some rapid fire? First thing off the top of the head?
Yeah.
All right, tonight.
First thing off the top of the head.
All right, tonight we got the NBA draft. I know you'll love this stat. Since 2008, either Duke or Kentucky have had a top 6 pick. That is coming to an end, it looks like. If you were a GM of an NBA team, which draft pick would you like the most that is going tonight?
Oh, I like longer than average guys that can do a lot of things. So it would be hard for me to not pick what's our guy from Memphis?
Wiseman.
Wiseman. It'd be hard for me not to go with a guy like that can affect the game on both ends in a lot of different ways and is super out long, super athletic.
20 win. It's rapid fire. 20 win. Come on.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Can Wiseman afford to take the pay cut to go to the NBA as opposed to what Penny gave him?
Yeah. Probably even.
What is your favorite of all your players? What's your favorite name to say?
Obidia Bube.
That's very well done.
All right. I think the MJ LeBron debate is tired, so I'm going to ask you an even more difficult one. At the height of their powers, who is better stand-up, Chappelle or Eddie Murphy?
Oh, Chappelle.
Oh, you're wrong. You're so wrong.
All right. How much of tonight's draft will you watch if I give you over under 2 hours?
Way under.
I'm with you, Coach. Hey, glad you're safe, Coach. Glad you're safe. Hey, does this feel at least a little bit normal for the first time in 2020?
It does. It does. I've been thankful that we've been able just to get in the gym, and I try not to take that for granted, but it does. It does. You know, just watching tape and having to put new plays in, it just feels normal. It feels like it's a great feeling.
And
for however I feel about it, for the guys, I know it must be even more so for them.
All right, we're going to get together, you, me, and Jim Horton. We're all going to work out a time where it's a good time for you to come on, because when we – you know, you were going to be our NCAA tournament basketball analyst, and then there was no NCAA tournament.
And so, you still owe us a technical, yeah. By God.
That's true.
I do. I'll get one. I'll tell you, the better the team, as crazy as it sounds, the better the team, the more likely I am to get a technical.
All right, but I don't want one by accident. I want some preemptive. This one's for Greason to shut his fat face.
Yeah, that's right. I'll get one when I think we're really underperforming.
Okay.
You know, sometimes if guys are learning, it's hard to get one. Then it is fake. But I'll be really mad. If we're underperforming, I will be really mad.
Levant, listen, thanks a bunch. Best of luck next week, and we'll work out a time where you can become a regular again, because we always enjoy you having you.
Fellas, I love being on here. You know that. Call me anytime.
Sounds good.
Have a great week.
Levant Paris, the 20-win coach of the UTC Mocs, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. We'll revisit the Painter Ready poll question when we come back. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.